Any of you know who Edward Fudge is? You do. Edward Fudge used to be a gospel preacher, but he's moved far to the left. In fact, he's one of the ones that talks about what you could call patternism, treating the New Testament like a pattern. And what he does, essentially, I just went back and read part of one of his articles today, as if that's a Church of Christ tradition. But he's not the only one. You all know Steve Rudd. Steve Rudd's combated that with different ones on his website. And so there are those that ridicule the idea of treating the New Testament like a pattern. And some of them are standing in pulpits of what may be called churches of Christ. So it's important that we understand the truth. We're going to be looking at the concept of God's Word as an authoritative pattern tonight. At the top of your page, we began by defining the word pattern from Webster's New World Dictionary. A model, guide, to be strictly followed. That's a simple, concise, but very good definition. And we'll see that as we study. We'll begin in Exodus chapter 25 and verse 9. The book of Exodus is a book of 40 chapters. Bible space is at a premium. You know, if you invent some kind of food and you want to sell it, the problem is getting shelf space. Shelf space, very valuable. Here's a book for all of mankind, for the continuance of this earth. Chapters 25 through 40 are about the tabernacle. Do you reckon the Holy Spirit has some lessons for us to learn by taking that much space in your Bible on the tabernacle? One of those lessons we're going to see tonight. So we start in the 25th chapter. In the instructions to Moses, and in verse 9, what did God tell Moses about the pattern of the tabernacle? You can look at it there in your verse. He said, "Just so shall you make it." And you will note, it's not only the tabernacle, the tent, but all its furniture, all the stuff that went in it, the table of showbread, the altar, etc. So it was to be made according to the pattern. Now, I have on your lesson compare, and I've got some other verses. And the reason I put those on there is because it shows the kind of emphasis God put on this. In chapter 25 and in verse 40, "See that you make them after the pattern for them which was shown to you on the mountain." In chapter 26 and verse 30, "You shall erect the tabernacle according to its plan, which you've been shown on the mountain." Maybe the word plan doesn't bother people as much, but you can see God's plan is God's pattern. In chapter 27, in verse 8, "You shall make it hollow with planks as it was shown to you on the mountain. So they shall make it." So the construction of the furniture was to follow the pattern. And go to chapter 39 and in verse 32. Chapter 39 and verse 32, he said, "Thus the work of the tabernacle of the tent of meeting was completed, and the sons of Israel did according to all the Lord had commanded Moses." So they did. Now, Moses is writing this book, and it's the foundation book for the nation of Israel. Note the emphasis that the Holy Spirit guided him in as he penned this crucial book for the nation of Israel. And you'll see here, did all according to the Lord commanded. So they did. And then we have verse 42 and 43. "They did all the work according to all the Lord commanded Moses." And again, just as they had commanded. When we define the word authority, we said its basic definition has to do with the right, the word right, or liberty. And then it went two directions. Do you remember what the two directions are? The right to rule and the right to act. The right to rule, when it says they did according to the Lord commanded, what does that point to? His right to rule. And they did according to what he said. This points to their right to act. The word authority doesn't occur, but all of these verses are about authority. And it's not on your lesson, but look at chapter 40 and verse 16. Thus Moses did according to all that the Lord commanded him, so he did. This is cumulative evidence of the importance of this. Just quickly, we'll look through chapter 40. That's verse 16. Verse 19, end of the verse, just as the Lord commanded Moses. Verse 21, end of the verse, just as the Lord commanded Moses. You have that in 23. You have that in 25. You have that in 27. You have that in 29. You have that in 32. As the tabernacle was put together, all the furniture put where it was supposed to be, just as the Lord commanded Moses. So clearly we see the concept of a pattern. Now, he was told to make the ark certain dimensions. Could he deviate? Say, I think it'd be better just a little bit bigger. Obviously not. But what difference would it make? What difference would it make? What? It wasn't what God authorized. It's that simple. And they only had one table and then the lampstand. Maybe they need a second lampstand. And a third one maybe. What's wrong with that? It's not according to the pattern. And you'll note he didn't have to say in all of these instructions, chapter 25 through 40, you shall not add another lampstand. You shall not change the dimensions of the ark. You know what else he didn't have to say? You shall not build a playroom for the kids. It was not authorized. It's that simple. And we can see that important lesson. So I asked that question on C. Could Moses add things to it that were not specifically forbidden? So they wanted to add a playroom, and somebody said, well, Moses, where did God tell you not to? That's not the answer. Where did he authorize it? And so, though it was not specifically forbidden, it was not authorized. It was not according to the pattern. All right, look at chapter 25. Go back to chapter 25 and look at verse 13. You shall make poles of acacia wood. This is for the ark of the covenant. Poles of acacia wood and overlay them with gold. I have a question on your lesson. Were poles 8 cubits long authorized? What? No? That's right. How about 10 cubit long? Yes. Because something is not specifically authorized does not mean it's not authorized. When we talked about indicators of authority in class 4, we tried to stress that point. That they're indicators of authority, but they're not authority. If 8 cubic foot poles were not authorized, could they have made them then with God's approval? No. So whether 8 foot, 10 foot, 12 foot, it just simply does not say. This is an example of generic authority. We're going to have a lesson on specific and generic authority. Very important to understand it. In verses 10 and 11, they construct an ark of acacia wood, 2.5 cubits long, 1.5 cubits wide, 1.5 cubits high. Now, what about an ark that was 3 cubits long? Is that okay? Why? Is it forbidden? He specified the dimensions. And when authority is specific, we don't have the right to do something different. That's the idea. So you have specific authority and generic authority. Illustrated. Another fact about authority illustrated in this story about the building of the tabernacle. Did they use tools to build the tabernacle? Obviously. Were they authorized? Yes. Are they mentioned?
No.
Well, how are they authorized then?
They were told to build the ark.
They were told to build the ark, and these expedite doing what God said do. Not something God didn't say do. Somebody said, well, a seesaw would be an expedient. But is it?
No.
Does it expedite anything God told them to do? No. But tools would expedite, aid, assist, contribute to the doing of what God said do. And expedients do not have to be specified. They can be authorized, but they must be to expedite what is authorized. All right. Look at verse 14. You shall put the poles into the rings on the sides of the ark to carry the ark with them. I don't know how heavy the ark was, but you got poles on each side. You know, that's one way to carry it. Here's another good way to carry it, maybe. Why not build a nice wagon and put the ark on a wagon and carry it that way? What would be wrong with that? Not authorized. Now, we have a classic lesson over in 1 Chronicles. Look over at 1 Chronicles. This is a section of your Bible that would be good for you to remember, as it is such a great lesson about authority. I wish we had time to deal with chapter 13, where their plan was approved by all the leaders and all the people, including the king, but it was wrong. Everybody would raise their hand and say, oh, this is great. But it wasn't great. And you remember they built the wagon, a new wagon, or cart, to carry the ark. The oxen stumbled, Uzzah put out his hand, he was struck dead. So chapter 15, look at verse 15. What a verse to mark somewhere in your Bible to remember. What was wrong with what they did? Here it is, look at verse 15. David said, he's learned now, no one is to carry the ark of God but the Levites, for the Lord chose them to carry the ark of God. What? The Lord chose. When the Lord chooses, we are not authorized to do something different. The Lord didn't choose whether the poles were 8 foot, 10 foot, or 12 foot. He did choose the dimensions of the ark. He did choose that they were to be carried by poles on the shoulders of certain priests, not any priest. And when you get down to verse 13, note, because you did not carry it at the first, the Lord our God made an outburst on us. Why? Listen to it. For we did not seek him according to the ordinance. We have young people in our audience. You're going to meet your friends. You're going to say, what's wrong with instrumental music? Remember 1 Chronicles 13 and 15. Here it is. It's not Church of Christ tradition. It's not according to the ordinance. That's it. Now note at verse 15. So the sons of the Levites carried the ark of God on their shoulders with the poles their own, as Moses had commanded according to the word of the Lord. All right, now, that's the Old Testament example with a pattern, the tabernacle pattern. Now, you'll note in this next paragraph, we've got two parts to it. We say God's Word is a pattern for the faith and practice of God's people. Now, we've got two sets of verses, number 2 and number 3, that deal with the law of Moses being a pattern for the Jewish nation. We'll look at those. But then we're going to see in the other verses we look at that all of God's Word, including the New Testament, is a pattern for Christians today. But see, I know they had patterns in the Old Testament. We live under the New Covenant. We don't have patterns. Well, we'll see about that. But look at Deuteronomy chapter 4. Now, you remember this is Moses' sermon to the people. In this sermon, he did talk, as Michael did in his good prayer, about the glory and majesty of God. He talked about the events at Sinai. He wanted the people to focus on God. But note also a focus of his sermon. And this is repeated throughout. I've just put a few of the verses that you could look at. But look at Deuteronomy 4, 1 and 2. Now, O Israel, listen to the statutes and the judgments which I'm teaching you to perform in order that you may live and go in and take possession of the land which the Lord, the God of your fathers, has given you. Listen to this. You shall not add to the word which I'm commanding you, nor take away from it. Now, in the tabernacle pattern, we've talked about they couldn't add, they couldn't take away. But this is more expansive. It's the commandments of God, not just the commandments about the tabernacle. And so he says, now note that next word, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. If you add or take away, you cannot rightfully claim that you're keeping his commandments. You say, well, I keep some. No, that won't do. Well, I know I've added one or two, but I'm keeping his commandments. No, that won't do. If you want to keep the commandments of the Lord, you don't add or you don't take away. You remember that when you read Matthew 18:28, I mean. And Jesus told the apostles, teach them to observe all that I commanded you. What does that mean? You don't add, you don't take away. When Paul, which a verse we'll look at in a moment, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14, these are the Lord's commandments. What does that mean? You don't add, you don't take away. And these other verses that I have here points out they weren't turned to the right or to the left. And chapter 29:29 are things that weren't revealed. He said, those are the Lord's. Your job is to deal with what's been revealed. All right. So, let's go to Hebrews chapter 7. Another valuable, valuable lesson on the subject of authority. And that God's Word is an authoritative pattern. So here the writer is talking about the high priesthood of Christ. Now, in the Old Testament for 1,500 years, the high priest came from what tribe? Levi. Jesus was from what tribe? Judah. All right. Who in the world is going to tell Jesus, the Son of God, he can't be priest? But he can't. Not under that law. Not under that covenant. Is there a passage somewhere in the Old Testament that says, no one shall serve as high priest for the tribe of Judah? There is none. Yes, sir?
There are the ones that say that the Levites are the priests.
There are those that say what?
The ones that say that the Levites are the priests. Since nothing else is mentioned. In fact, that's verse 14 in Hebrews.
And your point is what? Yeah, we're getting there. We're getting there. All right. So look at our lesson here. Did the Old Testament specifically forbid anyone from the tribe of Judah serving as a priest? And of course, the answer is no. So when you talk about instrumental music today, or a playroom for the kids, or something else, what are you met with? Well, where does the Bible forbid it? All right, but look at our second question. Why did the writer say no one from the tribe of Judah could serve as a priest? And Ronnie just referred to it. Look, he said, the one concerning these things are spoken, verse 13, belongs to another tribe, from which no one is officiated at the altar. Now let me stop right there. What is he talking about? The absence of what in that verse? What kind of indicator?
Examples.
But that's not all. There are no examples. An example would authorize, but there are none. But now note further. For it is evident that our Lord was descended from Judah. Now it's more expansive. A tribe with reference to which Moses spoke nothing concerning priests. Now, if he hadn't said anything about who can serve as a priest at all, someone from the tribe of Judah might have been authorized by what kind of authority? Generic. But he specified a tribe, the tribe of Levi, the sons of Aaron. Jesus is not from Levi, not a son of Aaron. You know what? He can't serve. As great a being as he is, he cannot serve. So, in order for Jesus to serve as our high priest, what has to take place? Well, look at the text. He said, verse 12, here's what's got to happen. When the priesthood is changed of necessity, there takes place a change of law also. In order for Jesus to have the authority to serve as high priest, you have to have a change of law. That's the new covenant. And folks, a lot of the things people do in religion today, for them to be authorized, they're going to need a change of law, because it's not this book. These are great verses on God's concept, Holy Spirit's concept of authority. But you say on your lesson, we say, but is the law of Moses all of God's word that was ever intended to be a pattern? Well, let's answer that. Let's say, I know the Old Testament is a pattern. We don't live under the Old Testament. All right? Let's go to Romans 6:17. What did these Christians obey when they became Christians? What's in the text? What did they obey? A form of teaching. Now, if you happen to compare versions, you'll see other translations of that word. The American Standard Version has a footnote on that word. It says, or pattern. Now, here's what's interesting about that. Hold your finger here at Romans 6. Go with me to Hebrews 8:5. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 5. At the end of the verse, it's what we have been reading about in Exodus 25 through 40. God told Moses, see, you make all things according to the pattern which was shown you on the mountain. That word in Hebrews 8:5, pattern, is the same word translated form in Romans 6:17. I believe the English Standard Version has standard. Form, standard, pattern. You obeyed a pattern. To become a Christian, you obeyed a pattern. That's what the text says. Now, look, the important thing is to believe in Jesus. Isn't that it? This baptism in water thing. You guys emphasize that way too much. These people obeyed a pattern. Go back up to the first part of the chapter. See what part of that pattern was. Verse 3. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Jesus Christ have been baptized into His death? Therefore, we're buried with Him by baptism into death in order that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, even so we might walk in newness of life. When does newness of life take place? Before or after baptism? It's after. Where do you contact the death of Christ and its benefits? In baptism. Oh, quit worrying about that stuff. The important thing is to believe in Jesus. No, I'm worried about a pattern God set forth. And these people obeyed a pattern. When you obey something, it says there's commands. When the people in on the day of Pentecost asked Peter. They were believers. And they said, what do we need to do? What did he tell them? Repent and be baptized. Why? For the remission of sins. In whose name? Jesus Christ. That's a command. He says, you obeyed the pattern. Clear, isn't it? Don't let anybody tell you the New Testament doesn't have patterns and they have nothing to do with our salvation in Jesus. Remember these verses. All right, look at 1 Corinthians 7. We had a set of 12 lessons earlier in the year. We talked about, why can't I be a member of that church? This right here focuses on one of the focal reasons. Because churches do not respect or teach the truth about the authority of Jesus Christ, who you call your Savior. Now, you can go to churches. You know, this happens. You talk to somebody about marriage and divorce. They don't like it. You know what they can do? They can go down the street and find another church that says what you believe and practice is okay. I know it's happened time and time again. So the thing to do, if you got a problem with a marriage that a church won't accept, go find a church that accepts it. That'll make it okay. But look at 1 Corinthians 7 and verse 17. This whole chapter is on marriage and divorce to a church of God in Christ in Corinth. And look what he says in verse 17. Only as the Lord assigned to each, one, as God has called each, in this manner let he walk. Now note that last statement. Thus I direct in all the churches. Whatever he wrote to Corinth about marriage and divorce, I'm going to run to Ephesus. No, Paul thought the same thing here. I'm going to run over to Philippi. No, Paul thought the same thing there. I'll go to Thessalonica or Colossae. Paul said, I teach the same thing in all the churches. It's a pattern. Now, people may not like what Paul wrote. Like back up in verse 11, woman leaves her husband. She either remains unmarried or reconciles to her husband. Boy, that's first century. That's not modern. Yeah, it is first century. It's the divine pattern. And so, right here on the subject of marriage and the family, there's a pattern. Romans 6, a pattern that has to do with how you become a Christian. What you obeyed to be a Christian. Here's a pattern that has to do with your family, your marriage. Look at 1 Corinthians 14:37. Now what you have in denominationalism and these ecumenical movements, these church associations, we just long as we believe something together about Jesus. Jesus just blesses everything. Let me ask you a question. Let me test your memory a minute. Tell me a verse that says, just because people exalts Jesus in word does not mean they're acceptable to him. What? Matthew 7, 21 through 23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Who's going to enter? He who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. So don't be deceived by people who are just in love with Jesus and wear shirts with Jesus' name on it, hats with Jesus' name on it. Aren't they wonderful Christians? They may not be a follower of Christ at all. So look at 1 Corinthians 14. Now you're sitting here quietly. There are people in your community now who would sing loudly about Jesus, get up and clap their hands about Jesus. All of them drawing in saying, the Spirit's testifying to me and I can speak in languages for Jesus' glory. Do it all at the same time. But look at 1 Corinthians 14. In this chapter, he said, if you do have a gift, nobody has these gifts like this today, that's the first thing, but if you do, one speaker at a time. No tongue speakers unless there's an interpreter. No women preachers. I said, man, wow, that sounds like Church of Christ doctrine. No, it's not Church of Christ doctrine in the sense of denominationalism. Yeah, it's a church that respects Christ's doctrine. Yes, because he said in verse 37, if any thinks he's a prophet or spiritual, let him recognize that the thing which I write to you is the Lord's commandment. It's the Lord's commandment. In the pattern on the tabernacle, which we read over and over again, when we got to chapter 40, what was repeated over and over again when they followed that pattern? What was that little phrase? Just as the Lord commanded. What a lesson. You want to do it just as the Lord commanded, then follow the pattern about how a worship assembly is conducted. Okay. Let's look at 2 Timothy. It's a real challenge for me. You've heard me say this many times. Most of you have heard me preach for enough years to know that I have expressed the difficulty in knowing what to preach, what's needed, what's best today. And I don't always know. There are people who would like to have lesson after lesson on love or the family, on good morals, on Jesus. And all of those are great lessons on hope. But look at 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13. This is to a preacher. And it's written by another preacher, and he's an older preacher, and he's in prison, and he's going to die for his faith. He's also an apostle, and he's instructing the younger preacher. Look what he said in verse 13. Retain, this is the New American Standard, the standard of sound words. Now, the King James Version, New King James and the American Standard Version and the English Standard Version. Instead of the word standard, have the word pattern. What's that? I thought pattern was just for the Old Testament. Here's Paul, a preeminent gospel preacher, an apostle of our Lord, telling a younger preacher, you hold that pattern. You teach that pattern. You insist on that pattern. No, now, I ask the question, what was the pattern in this verse that he was to hold fast to? The words you heard from me. All right, so we ask the question, would this include the things Paul wrote in his first letter to Timothy? And obviously the answer is yes. All right, so let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 3. We have a lot of emphasis today on woman equality. And some people don't like this church and others like it because you don't have women in positions of leadership, authority. Well, here's 1 Timothy 3, written to a young preacher in the church of Christ in Ephesus, and he says, if any man aspires to the office of overseer. Now, what kind of person is this man? Man, sometimes used generically, but you'll note a little bit further that he is, verse 2, the man of one woman. He's a male. He's a male. Well, what difference does that make? That was the first century. We're in the 21st century. The difference is the divine pattern, how church is organized, its government, its oversight. Now, when you get to verse 15, he says, I'm writing these things to you so you may know how to conduct himself in the household of God, which is the church of the living God. What's the purpose of the church? Well, we need to help our people know how to vote. We need to help our people help with the climate. We need to help our people beautify the community. That's not what this says. We need to provide for families for their children when they're working. That's not what this says. It's the pillar and support of the truth. The truth, he tells you what it is in the next verse. the gospel of Jesus Christ. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 5. So we see that he said, you hold the pattern, the words you heard from me. That would include the oversight of a congregation. What about the work of a local church? What it does with its funds? Look at 1 Timothy 5:16. If any woman who is a believer had dependent widows, let her assist them, and let not the church be burdened. What difference does it make if it gives $100 to a widow, maybe who's not a Christian? What difference does it make? Pattern. That's the difference. He said, hold the pattern. And so I preach lessons on authority. I preach lessons on the pattern. I preach lessons on examples of following the pattern. Specifics. Because that's what a gospel preacher is supposed to do. So do not be deceived in thinking that the New Testament letters, since it doesn't follow the form of the Pentateuch with the thou shalt not, that therefore there's no pattern. That's not true. There is a pattern. And these verses show that the writings of the apostles and prophets in the New Testament are part of the pattern for God's people. I have some quotes at the bottom of the page. Look at real quick. The people who are in these churches may not recognize it, but their own manuals, their own creed books, recognize the concept of God's Word as a pattern. The first quote from a Baptist manual, the second quote is from a Lutheran publication, and the third one is a Presbyterian church. So you see, I have highlighted in that first quote, the Bible contains the revelation of God to man. It is the supreme standard of faith and practice. That's not a preacher in a Church of Christ saying that. That's in the Baptist manual. They recognize that. Look at the Lutheran church. We believe the Holy Scripture is the only fountain from which all doctrine taught the church must be drawn, and the only infallible standard and rule by which all doctrines and teachings must be estimated. Then here's the third one, Presbyterian church. The whole counsel of God concerning all things necessary for man's own glory, man's salvation, faith, and life is either expressly set down in Scripture or by a good and necessary consequence may be deduced from Scripture, unto which nothing at any time is to be added, whether by new revelations of the Spirit or traditions of men. Those are good statements. But you know, you can talk a good story and not practice it. A man can talk about loving his wife and not love her. A woman can talk about loving her husband and not love him. Parents can talk about disciplining, training their children and do a sorry job of it. Talking it is one thing, doing it's another. And because of the importance of all of this is the reason the elders have this kind of study about every 5 years to try to follow the pattern. All right, let's look at our quiz. Number one, a pattern. What's the correct answer? D, all of the above. Does it permit? Yes. Does it forbid? Yes. And that's inherent in the nature of generic and specific authority, which we'll talk about, the Lord willing, in another lesson. It's a model to be strictly followed. Now, note I have C. It's authoritative, if issued by a legitimate authority. Our whole class is on authority. That's what a pattern's all about. All right, number two, the Bible. What's the correct answer? Hey, it's designed to be a pattern for faith and practice, not just a bunch of stories. And people will talk about reading the Bible, and that's what they read, a bunch of stories, it's fine, but they get something they don't like. They don't follow that. And then, of course, today there's people who think that was good for people of the past, but not today, part D, which is an error. Based on Hebrews 7, 12 through 14, the reason Jesus could not be a priest under the law of Moses was what? Was B, right? The law said nothing authorizing a person from the tribe of Judah to serve as a priest. That was the statement in the Hebrew writer. Not because it was specifically forbidden. All right, number four. churches of the first century under apostolic guidance? What's the correct answer? B. Were instructed to conform to the same pattern in their doctrine, worship, and organization. All the churches had the same pattern. Now, A, C, and D is taught by people in religion today, and sometimes you may hear it in some buildings where they have Church of Christ on the sign. One, those people differed in doctrine, worship, and organization according to their culture and society. I told you about going to a Methodist preacher and talking to him about debating our differences. He said, no, we don't do that. I mentioned in the New Testament they did it. He said, oh, they lived in a dog-eat-dog world. In other words, we're far more advanced. That was their culture, not ours. But yet this is supposed to be a quote-unquote Christian church. And then you have C. Had no pattern but to believe Jesus was the Christ. That's what's preached in pulpit. As long as you believe. There's a sign, I've mentioned it in lessons before, over in Marble Falls, I believe it is. Big sign on a church building. No rules. Isn't that great? And then D, we're like churches today, regulated and guided by their peculiar creeds. In a magazine years ago that I got, church something or anyway, renowned writer, his contention was, well, the church over here at Corinth and the church over here at Philippi and the church over here at Colossae and other churches varied depending on who they followed, whether they followed Paul or Peter. You want me to tell you what that is? I think you know. Yeah, it's hogwash. All right. All right. Well, our time is up. Thank you for your attention tonight.